Now I'd like to read tonight, first of all, in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, and chapter 8. The Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 8, and reading at verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. And verse 41. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and reading at verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, that's again speaking of the Lord Jesus, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now over to 2 Peter, towards the back of our Bible, 2 Peter in chapter 3. And we'll read at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and reading at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And then a final reading is in Isaiah chapter 53. The book of Isaiah and chapter 53. And we'll read at verse 3. Isaiah 53, and reading at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now the Lord will bless, I'm sure, the reading of his word to our hearts tonight. There was a man one time that was having some meetings in a place, and he had to leave on a certain night. He had to leave and catch the train. But just as he got down at the train station, a man came running up to him that had attended some of those gospel meetings, and he wanted to know how to be saved. Asked the preacher if he could stop and tell him how that he could know for sure his sins forgiven and that he was going to be in heaven at the end of life's journey. Well, the preacher said, I haven't got time to stop. I have to catch this train. I've got an appointment and so on. But he said, I'll write down a verse in the Bible for you, and I want you to go home and read this verse that's in the Bible. And so he wrote down Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. And he said to the man, he says, now you go home and read that verse. And he says, I want you to go in at the first stall, and I want you to come out at the last stall. He said, and if you do, you'll be saved. Well, that was kind of a strange message, I suppose, to give the man. But anyway, he jumped on the train, and away he went. And the man went home, and he got down the Bible, got out his Bible, and he began to read, All we like sheep have gone astray. Well, when he began to think about that, the preacher said, Go in at the first stall, and come out at the last stall. And so all we like sheep have gone astray. Well, he put himself right in the truth of what that verse said. Well, he said, That's me. All we like sheep have gone astray. He says, I've gone astray just like the sheep. And of course, as he read the verse through, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And he says, that's me. I've taken my own way right up until this moment. Right up until this time, I've just taken my own way. I haven't taken God's way whatsoever. Still not saved and going the course of life that I've wanted to go and done what I've wanted to do. He said, that's me. And then it says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, or the sin of us all. Well, you know, the truth of it dawned on the man's soul, as the story is told, that he understood for the first time in his life, though he was the one that had gone astray, it was his sins that had shut the door of heaven against him, but he understood that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, that he paid the price for his redemption. He made provision whereby he might be saved. And so he went in at the first stall and he went out at the last stall, and the man got saved. What, you say that is as simple as that? Well, friend, yes, it is, really. When a person comes to the place when he wants or she wants God's salvation more than anything else in the world, why, that's the kind of people that get it. And throughout the Bible, we can go through the Bible, and there's different places in the Bible, there's different people, there's older people in the Bible, and they went in at the first stall and came out at the last stall, and they were saved. A man by the Nicodemus in John's Gospel chapter 3, an old man, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, that's a natural question. And of course, if we asked any person here tonight, why, you'd say that's an impossibility. That can't happen. You know, that's not the way it is. But here's this spiritual man, so-called Nicodemus, who knew more of the Bible than you and I probably will ever know, would be able to quote more of the Bible than any one of us here will ever be able to quote, and a teacher of the people, a leader of the people, and yet he asked that question, how can a person be born again? How can he be, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? The Lord Jesus told him very clearly and very plainly, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was not talking about a natural birth. That brings us into this life. That brings us into the life and puts us on the road of life, on the broad road that's pictured on the chart behind us, that we've heard night after night spoken about, puts us on the broad road that is on a downward course towards death and towards eternity, friend. And according to the Bible, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. A person who goes into eternity off of the broad road goes down to meet the wrath of God in his sins, and the Bible calls that place the place called hell. But on that journey of life, and on that road of life somewhere, there needs to be a turning point. There needs to be a moment and a time when a person enters through a door that is opened, and it was opened by the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, Jesus said, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, friend, an older man by the name of Nicodemus, he heard those golden words for the very first time, and he entered into the truth of the knowledge of God's salvation by resting on the work that the Lord Jesus was going to do. The Lord Jesus hadn't died in John's Gospel chapter 3. But he looked forward to a moment, just as they were to look at the serpent of brass in the wilderness, those people that had sinned against God, and one look at that serpent of brass brought life into the salvation, into the life of those individuals. Then it's a look by faith to Calvary that brought salvation, brought Nicodemus into the good of God's salvation. And we want to tell you tonight, right at the beginning of our little meeting, that it's a look by faith to Calvary that makes the sinner whole. If you were to get a look at Calvary tonight, friend, why, you could know your sins forgiven, peace with God. And it's not a big, long process that a person goes through. You know, it just comes to my mind now, my brother's wife heard the gospel once in her life. Only one time, never heard the gospel. A young woman was brought up in a home that had no time for God, wasn't interested in God. In fact, after she got saved, her dad and mom said to her, you can get out. You can leave. 16 years of age. When the young woman got saved, the young woman that had set her sails as far as life was concerned for the pleasures of the world.
Anyway, she was invited to the gospel meeting. My brother invited her to a gospel meeting. At 16 years of age, she sat in one gospel meeting. Listened to the gospel once only one time. Had never heard it before. And you know, she left that meeting and went to school the next day. And in the school, in her school book, she had a verse of scripture written on a piece of paper. Now, I can't remember what the verse of scripture is now, but she had one verse of scripture that she wrote on a piece of paper, and she's sitting in biology class, and she's reading this verse of scripture over and over and over again. Do you know why that girl was troubled? Do you know why that girl got saved? Because she understood that her condition before God, she was a sinner. Didn't have to prove to her that she was a sinner. She would readily acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner. Well, reading that verse in biology class, and she was crying away in biology, the teacher couldn't understand what was happening. Well, I want to tell you, friend, that girl was interested and about her soul and about getting God's salvation. And you know, in biology class, she trusted the Lord Jesus as her personal Savior. You don't even have to be sitting in a gospel meeting to get saved. You can get saved in the schoolhouse, friend. You can get saved driving along the road in the car. But I want to tell you, there's no better time in a person's life than right at this moment tonight, sitting in this gospel meeting, right on the seat that you're sitting in tonight, friend, to trust the Lord Jesus. She got saved, and she was glad of her salvation, told her mom and dad that she got saved, and her dad said, you can get out of the house. You can leave the house. Sometimes there's a cost to God's salvation. And so she had to get out of the house, and she took sick. A month later and went into the hospital, and the father wouldn't allow the mother to go visit the daughter, mind you, in the hospital. Can you imagine? Because she had gotten God's salvation. Not much wonder they crucified the Lord Jesus when he was here. Not much wonder they said, away with this man, crucify him. We'll not have this man to reign over us because people naturally don't welcome him into their lives. Well, anyway, if you were to see her tonight, of course, then later on they got married, and things changed around somewhat, a little bit anyway, but I want to tell you, she never regretted the day when she called a halt as far as life was concerned, and she settled the matter of where she was going to be in eternity. She looked into eternity one day in her life, one night in her life, and she responded to the message of the gospel, and she received the Lord Jesus. She went in at the first stall, and she came out at the last stall, and I want to tell you, friend, she appreciated that the Lord died for her at Calvary. Well, I want to think about the Savior tonight very simply. In the beginning of this meeting, I want to think of the warning Savior that's brought before us in John's Gospel chapter 18. The Lord Jesus said himself, he said, if you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come. And so, there's the warning Savior, the warning word of the Savior. When I come to Luke chapter 19, I think of a weeping Savior. It says as he looked over this great city of Jerusalem that he wept when he looked over that city. Do you know why he was weeping? Because as he looked at a city of people, he said concerning them that they don't know the time, they don't understand the time of their visitation. A special opportunity, a special visitation that the Lord Jesus was coming right into their city. An opportunity whereby they might accept the Savior. And they passed it by. And it says that the Lord Jesus wept. So he's a weeping Savior. When I come to 2 Peter chapter 3, I think they're of a waiting Savior. And tonight, friends, you need to be thankful if you're not saved. You need to be thankful tonight that the Lord is still waiting. Where is the promise of his coming? The scoffers say. Where is the promise? Why, we've heard about the Lord's coming for years now, the mockers say. Where is the promise of his coming? This preaching, you've been preaching this for years, down through the years. Well, I want to tell you, friend, the preaching, it'll never stop until the Lord does come. But I want to remind you tonight that we're right on the threshold of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And at any moment, at any time, why that promise that he gave, and many places throughout the Bible, the promise of his coming back again to receive to himself every person that's saved, that's going to be fulfilled. And just as it was in the days of Noah, he promised judgment coming. It was 120 years before the judgment came, at least. But it came. God said it was coming, and it came. And I want to tell you tonight, God has promised the Lord Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming back again. And if he came tonight, I wonder how many of us would go to be with him. And then lastly, in Isaiah chapter 53, I think of him as the wounded Savior. But he was wounded for our transgressions. If I was to ask you tonight, who's he speaking about in Isaiah chapter 53? When we read through that chapter, I would dare say there's not a person in this audience that would say, if when we read through that chapter, if we was to ask you, who's he talking about? Who's this man talking about in Isaiah chapter 53? Without exception, we would probably say, why, that's Jesus. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. Well, how do you know that he's talking about the Lord Jesus? If I asked you tonight, how would you know that they're talking about the Lord Jesus? You know, this was written 700 years at least before the Lord came, before he was born of the Virgin, before he came into this world. This portion was written. Well, I want to tell you, this is one of the prophecies of the Lord Jesus concerning him. He was promised. The Word of God in the Old Testament promised that he was coming. A Savior was going to come. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Bible tells us, the Old Testament tells us when he was coming, where he was coming, how he was going to be born, where he was going to be born, and hundreds of other prophecies that was given concerning this man that we're preaching tonight in the gospel. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, God's beloved Son, who came into this world. And Isaiah 53 reminds us he was wounded for our transgressions. That's why he came. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Well, friend, are you saved tonight? If we asked you personally, has there been a time in your life when you started for heaven? On this chart behind me, as we've mentioned in nights past, there's the broad road that's leading down to death, of course, and none of us would disagree with that. We're on this on the road, the journey of life, for death and then for the great eternity. Well, on the road of life, somewhere, every person going to heaven goes through a door. And the Bible says, the Lord Jesus said, I am that door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Well, every person that goes through that door, friend, knows it. You don't dream, you don't go through the door in a dream. You're not sleeping some night and have a dream, and, you go through the door in a dream. No, sir. God's salvation, you are wide awake. A person is wide awake when they go through that door. That's why we urge people, while they're healthy and strong, and able to think and able to consider, why to weigh up the matter of God's salvation. Why, there's people tonight that's racked with pain and troubled with sickness, and they can't even begin to think about getting right with God. They're so concerned with the pain that is racing through their body and their members. Why, they could never stop long enough to consider, what about my soul for eternity? That's why, friend, God so wisely reminds us, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, I just heard there a moment ago of those three teenagers that went into eternity instantly. Never thought for a moment. 150 kilometers an hour going along Marine Way down here. Who would ever think? Why, you would think that wouldn't even think of doing that. But I'll tell you, on the journey of life, friend, we are constantly, always, right on the verge of eternity. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. We're in life tonight, we could be in eternity before the sun goes down tomorrow night. And so we need to be reminded on the journey of life, we need to be reminded, we need to get right with God. The Lord Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Do you know there's two ways to die? Oh, you say there's lots of ways to die. Well, according to our portion tonight, there's two ways to die. You can die in your sins, or you can die with your sins forgiven. That's two ways to die. You can die in your sins, or you die with your sins forgiven. Now, if it was your turn tonight, if your number was called, if your little book of life came to an end tonight, whatever chapter it might be, maybe chapter 17, maybe chapter 20, maybe chapter 50 or 70 or 80, perhaps. And if your little book came to a close tonight, the little story of your life That's being written now for many years. And that little story of life came to a halt. The last chapter is being written. And the last period is going to be put in. And the last sentence is going to be over. And the book is going to shut. And your little story of life, done. Friend, how would you die tonight? In your sins, or with your sins forgiven? Well, that's the message of the preaching of the gospel. That's what we seek, friend, to bring to the attention of fellow travelers to eternity. Young man tonight, or older man tonight in this meeting, young woman tonight, or older person, older lady in the meeting tonight, have you ever stopped on the road, on the journey of life, and asked yourself the question, where am I going to be in the great eternity? Is it going to be heaven? Am I going to be in heaven? Have I made preparation for heaven? Have my sins been forgiven? Have I trusted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior? Or did he die in vain? You know, I was just thinking tonight, sometimes picturing God's salvation, and of course the picture has been viewed many times by me since here in Vancouver. I was saying to somebody, I don't know if it's the weather or what it is that makes your clothes get tighter out here. You know something? We had supper again tonight, and as we've had most nights, I guess every night. And do you know how much it cost us for supper tonight? Didn't cost us not 1 cent. But it cost somebody. And you know, we went into a house tonight, and we sat down, and the table was set, and the food was brought out and put on the table, and we just got the word that supper's ready. So we went over and sat down at the table, and the food was passed around, and we took our portion of it, more or less, and partook of it. Whose was it after we ate it? Well, now that's mine now. I'm here, that supper I had is mine. I can say that's my supper. But it didn't cost me a cent. Somebody else paid the price. Somebody else provided it. But you know, it wasn't mine until I took it. It was no good to me until I ate it. And so, but once I ate it, then it became mine. And you know, I thought, that's just like a picture of God's salvation. God has given His Son. And the Lord Jesus went all the way to the cross of Calvary. And He suffered and He bled and He died at the place called Calvary. Do you know why? To provide for men and women a way of salvation whereby they might never be in hell. Where they might never be punished for their sin. Whereby they might be in heaven for the eternal ages. Friend, God's salvation is free tonight. But it's no good to us until we receive it. Until we take it for ourselves. It's unto all, but it's only good to those that believe. It is unto every person, but it's only good to those that receive it. And so just as the meal was free for us to partake of, God's salvation tonight, friend, is free for you to partake of. But it'll do you no good, even though Christ has died, even though the price has been paid, even though He has entered into the death of the cross, even though He has suffered and bled and died and satisfied the God of heaven for man's sin, for your sin, it'll still do you no good, friend, until you make it yours personally. And as our business tonight, and our desire tonight, and our prayer tonight, friend, is that you might make it personal in this gospel meeting, that you might not die in your sins. The Savior warns tonight, man tonight in the meeting, woman, boy, or girl in the meeting tonight, you can die in your sins if you refuse God's great salvation. And God's desire is that you might be saved. That's why He was wounded for our transgressions. That's why He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him at Calvary. And with His stripes, we are healed. The moment we make Him ours. I think of an opportunity as the Lord Jesus looked over this city. He begins to weep. I wonder as He looks over this company tonight. The Lord sees us here gathered in this meeting. Sees this company of people gathered here tonight. And I wonder as He looks over this company and He looks right into your heart. I wonder, does He see a person interested in being saved? Would he hear a silent prayer? Go up to God in heaven, oh God, I'd like to be saved. Lord, save me. I'd like to know my sins forgiven and peace with God. Or I wonder, would it be said, as he looked over Jerusalem and he wept over that city, because the people of that city, it was just going to be moments before they cried, crucify this man. We'll not have this man to reign over us. Maybe that would be the attitude of your heart tonight. No, don't want this man. And yet God says this is your visitation. Maybe somebody getting a call from God tonight, a visitation as the gospel passes through. Friend, a visitation from God, a special visitation from the God of heaven that you might be saved. And he calls for you tonight. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there one that would come tonight in this gospel meeting to the Savior? Is there one that would embrace their opportunity, would understand why this is my day, time of visitation, and I'll not let the Savior by, just like Bartimaeus we heard of last night, just like the man in Luke chapter 19, the Lord Jesus passing by, and he's going to put every effort into getting himself into the place of where the Lord Jesus is going to pass, right where he is, and he's going to embrace his opportunity. We trust that you might embrace your opportunity tonight. And then, of course, the truth of the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming back again. He's waiting tonight. I wonder why he's waiting. But don't take that for granted, that he's going to wait forever, for he's not. But tonight, up until this present moment, he's been waiting to hear a cry from your... But tonight, up until this present moment, he's been waiting to hear a cry from your heart. Lord, save me. I'd like to be saved. The waiting Savior, and he's waiting tonight, friend, in this gospel meeting, to hear the cry from your heart. And then the wounded Savior, and with this I close, he was wounded, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. The Bible tells me, God's Word tells me, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed, or we are saved. Would you like to be saved tonight? Well, as the gospel is preached in the last part of the meeting, friend, don't allow anything to stand between your getting to Christ and enjoying God's great salvation. God grant that you might tonight.